to the vaccine, even among their own workforce.
But as we have been able to present the facts and the science, those that were skeptical, we're seeing getting vaccinated now. We all have an obligation to call out that misinformation because there's been some very savvy, creative misinformation presented basically through social media.
Clinics offering the one-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine have seen their demand rise. Anyone under 18 who gets vaccinated must have a parent or guardian present.
Governor Andy Beshear is encouraging Kentuckians to sign up to receive the COVID-19 vaccine as other states report case increases. Monday afternoon, the governor said thousands of appointments for this week remain open at vaccination sites across Kentucky, including about 1,800 appointments at the Kentucky Horse Park in Lexington. Beshear tells LEX18, vaccinations are one of the best ways to prevent a fourth wave in case numbers.
You can probably get it this week. You can certainly get it over the next couple weeks.
Vaccination appointments are now available for all Kentuckians age 16 and older.
As more Kentuckians get vaccinated, many people are unsure what to do with their COVID-19 vaccination card. Lexington health experts encourage people to keep it in a secure place. Some officials predict a vaccine card might be needed to enter some spaces in the future. Infectious disease specialist Dr. Aaron Grubbs tells WYMT it is important to not get a card laminated until the full dose of the vaccine is completed.
I do think that it's possible there may be a need for booster vaccinations down the road. We don't know sort of the length of immunity yet. So far it looks good, but we're not sure.
If someone loses their card, they should be able to go where they were vaccinated to get a replacement.
Starting today, the University of Kentucky will begin offering students the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine. WUKY's Josh James has more.
The single-shot vaccine will be available at UK's Wild Health COVID-19 testing locations at the Gatton Student Center and at K-Lair, but not at the Kroger Field Vaccine Clinic. Making an appointment is preferred, but the clinics will take walk-ups between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. on select days. The Gatton location will be open Tuesday and Wednesday, and K-Lair will offer the shot Thursday through Sunday. The J&J vaccine is open to those 18 and up and will be administered while supplies last. Late-stage trials found the vaccine was 85% effective at protecting against severe COVID-19, and no deaths or hospitalizations occurred in recipients a month after receiving the shot. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A new campaign to target child sexual abuse in the Commonwealth was announced on Monday. The goal is to direct people to the Prevent Child Abuse Kentucky website, which contains tips, toolkits, and training to prevent child sexual abuse. The campaign is going to be displayed on buses in Lexington, Louisville, and Northern Kentucky, and on social media platforms. Attorney General Daniel Cameron tells WKYT educating Kentuckians is one of the best ways to stop child sexual abuse.
The campaign we are talking about today will help stop child abuse before it starts by equipping parents, caregivers, and every adult with the information necessary to recognize and prevent Kentucky's youth from being groomed for abuse.
According to research from the organization, approximately 25% of Kentuckians could not recognize the signs of grooming. The campaign is being funded through a grant from the Kentucky Child Victims Trust Fund.
Two open record bills passed by the Kentucky General Assembly are waiting for approval from the governor. WMKY's Sarah Mead has more.
Senate Bill 48 would redact personal identifiable information and records that would reveal the address of a public officer if that officer has notified the public agency responsible for those records that he or she does not want the information to be made public. The second bill, House Bill 312, changes request procedures, which opponents says limits the ability of people who live, work, or conduct business within the state of Kentucky to obtain records through the state's open records law. According to the Ledger Independent, bill supporters say it would make it difficult for out-of-state individuals to obtain personal information of Kentucky residents. The governor is expected to announce his decisions Wednesday on which bills he has signed. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead.
The Kentucky General Assembly amended Senate Bill 146 last week. WMKY's Carla Haight has that story.
Members of the Kentucky General Assembly amended Senate Bill 146 to include a version of the 100th District Representative Scott Sharp's proposal. The proposal requires regional public employment offices to open when an area's unemployment rate is below 5% for the preceding six-month period. Sharp added that the governor's office has committed to opening a satellite office in Ashland by April 15th. Sharp's language calls for 12 regional full-time offices and grants the Labor Cabinet the ability to open and operate additional satellite offices on a full or part-time schedule. For WMKY News, I'm Carla Haight.
Senator Mitch McConnell is urging corporations to stay on the sidelines in the fight over voting laws. The CEOs of Merck, Delta, and Coca-Cola are among the major corporate players who have been outspoken in their opposition to voter reforms in Georgia. Major League Baseball announced last week it's moving the 2021 All-Star Game and MLB Draft out of the state. In doing so, McConnell says the companies will face consequences if they become a vehicle for far-left mobs to hijack the country.
My advice to the corporate CEOs of America is to stay out of politics. Don't pick sides in these big fights.
McConnell also claims that companies are amplifying disinformation about the laws themselves, pointing to a Washington Post fact check awarding four Pinocchios to one of President Biden's statements about the law. But a New York Times analysis found 16 provisions in the Georgia reforms it says will limit ballot access and give Republicans an upper hand.
It has been about a month since historic flooding devastated communities across eastern Kentucky. Recent rainy weather has caused the water to come back up, causing additional complications in some communities. Estill County Emergency Management Director Robbie Riddle tells WKYT the recovery will not happen right away.
To make a family whole from what they were, I'm thinking that some of these places may be a year or more getting back to what they were. Yeah, time and money.
Riddle says many cleanouts have already been finished, but there are still some people who need additional assistance.
A U.S. Supreme Court ruling could mean more robocalls and texts for Americans. One of the cases involved a Montana man suing Facebook because he claims the social media site texted him multiple times about an account he didn't have. Heather Clary with the Better Business Bureau tells WKYT she hopes to prevent more cases from happening.
Push one or two to be removed or to talk to someone because that just lets them know they have a good line to continue on.
In February, Americans received more than 4 billion robocalls. That is a 15% increase from the previous month. Clary says there are apps individuals can download to block calls.
A new organization is helping teens and young adults that have autism connect with similar people their age. The program is called Ease Club and helps individuals overcome social challenges. Nicole Burrows is the executive director of Aaron's Hope for Friends. She tells LEX18 the club is helping change lives.
Acceptance and kindness, and that's how we become a better society. And that's why this club is so wonderful, because we live in that mentality.
The Kentucky chapter is raising funds currently for a physical meeting place.
A Lexington food bank has been seeing impacts from the Biden administration's hunger relief campaign. The assistance plan has helped the federal government increase food stamps by $1 billion each month, increase an allowance for pregnant women, and authorize the largest children's summer reading program. God's Pantry Food Bank CEO Michael Halligan tells WKYT his organization had fewer clients last week than before the pandemic.
Our inventories are at the lowest level that they have been since October of 2019. But all that being said, we're prepared to help serve those who need food. But I would much rather see folks accessing food at a grocery store than standing in line at a food pantry or a food bank. Standing in line for food is just not something that we want to see anybody do.
The campaign for hunger relief assistance is a temporary increase, but some officials hope it will become a permanent expansion for aid in the future. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 80. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 58. Thursday, showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m., high near 74. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 54. Friday, a 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 3 p.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 74.
On our feature segment today, the Morehead State Honors Program has decided on its new freshman class for the fall of 2021. WMKY's Daria Denisenko has the story.
The MSU George M. Luckey Jr. Academic Honors Program is a challenge in scholastic program with a rigorous application process. Its director, Dr. Philip Krumrick, says the program comes with a generous scholarship and the application is available to any prospective freshman.
The program is based on the Honors Scholarship, which is a full four-year scholarship. We make the scholarship available to incoming freshmen, and so they apply the year before. The application deadline is typically December the 1st. We conduct interviews in January, offer the scholarship after the interviews, and then those students begin the following August.
The application has many requirements that include the student's grade point average, test scores, an essay, a sample of students' best work, as well as a letter of recommendation. Based on that information, students are chosen for the interview process.
We pick the people that we think are most likely to take full advantage of the opportunities we offer the program. We invite them to campus for interviews. We'll typically interview about 60 people and will eventually award 20 scholarships.
Besides a full-ride scholarship, the program has many benefits for the students.
One of the benefits, of course, is good company. I mean, honor students connect with each other. They live together in Fields Hall, and they find that that association with other bright and motivated students is really helpful to them in keeping them on track and giving them support when they need support and really just providing a chance for lifelong friendships.
Accepted students are required to complete a certain amount of coursework outside of their program of study.
We have three other requirements. We have a service requirement, and students have to complete four projects, roughly 10 hours each, of different kinds, working with other honor students. We have a requirement for undergraduate research, so that all honor students must complete at least two semesters of undergraduate research and make a presentation about their research. And we do require an overseas experience. That's been a bit derailed by the pandemic.
Many students applying for the honors program are from Kentucky and a few from out of state.
We have international students in the program. Unfortunately, the rules were changed for this year, and so any student from now on, any international student from now on, will receive a partial scholarship and will be expected to pay out-of-state tuition, but then we'll get free room and board and the other benefits.
Students who are considering applying for the program for the fall 2022 semester must submit the application and other supplemental material by December 1st, 2021. For WMQY News, I'm Daria Denisenko.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Times, a locally owned and operated newspaper serving businesses and residents of Carter County, including Grayson, Olive Hill, Globe, Grand, Carter City, Willard, Hitchens, and Rush. The Times is Carter County's source for local news, sports, and obituaries, available at local retailers and delivered every Wednesday. For subscriptions and more information, the Carter County Times is available online at cartercountytimes.com or by phone at 606-225-1318.
It's 76 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Lake and Hupp has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Rowan baseball and softball take the field this evening. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lake and Hupp. The Rowan County Senior High School softball team is resuming their busy week this evening. The Vikings will be on the road to take on Bracken County. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team is still in an adjustment period. He says many of his players have only returned recently after competing in basketball and other athletic programs.
And we've got Emily Hacker, which is on the swim team, and she's only been there three times. So getting a real good idea of where we are right now, it's hard to tell. We probably need another couple of weeks.
First pitch in Bracken County this evening is set for 6 o'clock. Taking a look at other softball action in the region this evening, Prestonburg will face Betsy Lane in the 15th Region All-A Classic. Morgan County heads to East Carter. Fleming County will play host to Lewis County. Briot County will head to Hazard, and Mason County will play Highlands. All of those games are slated to begin at 6 o'clock. The Rowan County baseball team hits the road tonight for a contest with Greenup County. The Vikings are 4-0 so far this season, coming off two big wins over the weekend at the Harding Classic. The Musketeers have three wins under their belts so far this season. Head coach Scott Collins says it's hard to anticipate Greenup County's strengths early in the season.
In 19, they're really young, but you could tell they were very athletic. They'll be quick. They'll put pressure on us. You know, may play some small ball against us, so we've got to be prepared defensively, you know, for any situation that they throw at us. As far as their pitching, it's really unknown at this time, you know, what we'll see there.
Game tonight is set for 6 p.m. The Morehead State baseball team is on the field this afternoon in Dayton, Ohio. The Eagles stand at 12-11 on the season, while the Flyers are 10-18 overall. MSU head coach Mick Aoki says he expects a good matchup with Dayton.
It was a team that, you know, we had a really good game against last year. It was actually the last game of the season. It was the last game before COVID shut the whole world down. And so, you know, we're hoping to be able to go up there and have another really good day. We'll see.
The two teams are currently on the field. Tune in tomorrow for scores and updates during the morning edition. The Morehead State soccer team will play its final game of the spring season tonight. The Eagles will face off with Belmont in Nashville. Head coach Warren Lipka says his ladies got the win in their last showdown with the Bruins, but it wasn't easy then and it won't be easy tonight.
They're a good team. I mean, the year that we beat them, they went on to win the OVC tournament. So they're physical. They're athletic. It's their senior day. It's going to be a battle. So, you know, we just got to be ready for their energy and ready to start right when the whistle blows.
Game time tonight is set for 7:30 p.m. Live stats will be available at msueagles.com. The Eagles softball team hits the road tomorrow for a matchup with Dayton. Morehead State earned its first conference victory of the season by defeating the Tigers of Tennessee State University on Friday. Head coach Samantha Jones says tomorrow's game will be against a team that is competitive on all sides of the ball.
So they're a pretty steadfast program ever since coach has been there. And so I'm excited just for the competition. It's going to be beautiful weather. It's another day to get out in the field, you know, travel just a couple hours away from home and have a midweek game, so that's kind of nice.
The Eagles hit the road on Wednesday for a doubleheader with Dayton. First pitch is set for 2 p.m. The Morehead State University football team is back to practice this week after picking up another win over the weekend. The Eagles took down the Butler Bulldogs on the road Saturday, 35-14. Head coach Rob Tenier says his guys had a couple of slip-ups, but their execution was on point and where it needed to be.
I know we turned the ball over a few times on offense, but we had four takeaways on defense, and, you know, we had some extra possessions there. So Mark Pappas has put three games together in a row, probably the three best games of his career at quarterback. And we just played hard and made plays when they really needed to make plays.
MSU's final two games of the season will be at home. The Eagles next host Valparaiso Saturday at noon. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp. Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks fell from record levels as the recent rally driven by signs of a strong economic rebound took a pause, and the Dow Industrials did finish down 96.95 at 33,430.24. The S&P 500 was down 3.97 at 4,073.94, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 7.21, finishing at 13,698.38. Shares of airline and cruise lines continued their recent gains. Delta Airlines rose 2.8%, while Carnival and Royal Caribbean both gained more than 1%. Norwegian Cruise Line jumped 4.6%. The market came under pressure even after the Labor Department said U.S. job openings rose 268,000 to a two-year high of 7.4 million on the last day of February. Economists going into the report expected a print of 7 million. And of course, stocks rallied to a record high yesterday after the Friday blowout jobs report that was reported, as well as a surge in the gauge of services industry activity, which showed the economic rebound had gained momentum amid accelerated vaccine rollout. Big banks, including J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, kick off the new earnings season next week. First quarter earnings are expected to be up 24.2% year over year, compared to 3.8% growth in the fourth quarter. And bond yields continue to fall from recent highs, easing fears of rising inflation. The 10-year Treasury dropped 7 points to 1.65%. And today it was also announced that the California Governor Newsom said the state will reopen its economy by June 15th, provided that the coronavirus vaccine and hospitalization cases remain stable. In the commodities markets today, commodities in general were strong, with oil up 1.25% at $59.38 a barrel, and gold was up 0.7% at $1,744.10 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down $1.46 at $97.11, PPL Energy down 10 cents at $28.71, App Harvest up 50 cents at $18.97, Fifth Third Bank up 10 cents at $38.33, Anthem was down 262 to finish at $352.27, and Marathon Petroleum was down 28 cents to finish at $53.68. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 80. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low around 58. Thursday, showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m., high near 74. Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 54. Friday, a 40% chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible after 3 p.m., otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 74.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Lakin Hupp, Sarah Mead, Carla Haight, Heather Fannin, Megan Jones, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Daria Denisenko. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.